are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. Appreciate all of these subscriptions, the downloads, the listens. Really do appreciate it all as we continue to stay amongst the top 10 on the Locked On MLB podcast network. So, again, appreciate all of that. Appreciate the support on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. All the retweets, the likes. Again, can't thank you enough for all you do to support me on this channel. And if you are a new listener, just want to remind you that we post new episodes about your Milwaukee Brewers every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And I was on vacation at the end of last week, but did have some podcasts queued up for you, so hopefully you enjoyed those. We had a lot of talk about the upcoming trade deadline last week, so I know a lot of you enjoy those. We'll do another one on Tuesday because the Brewers are off on Monday. So if you do have any trade ideas, suggestions, targets that you want to talk about, make sure that you send those in to Lockdown Brewers on Twitter and make sure that you tag me on there so that I can discuss those on the podcast, as we'll be doing another one of those episodes on Tuesday, as this is the trade deadline week. So it should be a lot of news this week. So again, you're going to want to make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure that you follow Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Today we'll be recapping the big weekend series win over the Chicago White Sox, despite a disappointing end to the weekend with the loss on Sunday Night Baseball, but still very encouraging weekend for your Milwaukee Brewers. Before we get into that, let me remind you about our Locked On MLB Prospects podcast. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, then we have the podcast for you, Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton. It is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So again, I was on vacation at the end of last week, so I haven't recorded in several days now. I did enjoy a good trip up to Cincinnati with the family. Got to catch a Reds and Cardinals game, which I could have been there the week before when the Brewers were in town. But my first trip to Great American Ballpark, and it was a really, really fun, stadium. Never been there. But it was a really fun stadium to go to. Kids loved it. They had a lot of great stuff for kids inside the stadium that they really enjoyed and loved playing on. But the ballpark itself was really nice. Had some good food there. Got to enjoy some Skyline chili. So it was a really good time there. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed getting away with the family. Haven't been able to do that because of all the COVID stuff in a while. So that was a lot of fun. It was a great trip. Of course, anytime I plan a trip, got to make it involving baseball somehow. So I was glad to be able to do that. Obviously did a lot of other stuff and attractions for the kids, but that was the highlight for me, going to Great American Ballpark. My mom, she was a huge Reds fan, Cincinnati Reds fan, loved Johnny Bench. So that was really cool to go back and see some of the history there, the players that she enjoyed watching when she was growing up. So that was really cool for me, and again, enjoyed my time there, enjoyed that stadium. So if you haven't had a chance to go check it out, make sure you do so. Just try to align it so that the Brewers are in town. But when you got kids, you go when you can. But I thought it was a very fun fun city and a very nice ballpark to watch a game in. But you didn't come here to hear about my vacation plans. You came here to listen to your Milwaukee Brewers news and updates, and so we'll get into that next, and we'll go through some injury stuff before we get into the weekend recap. Lorenzo Cain, he played on Sunday, went 1-for-4 with Nashville, so I'm assuming everything went well and that he should be activated for the Pirates series starting on Tuesday. Now the minor leagues are off on Monday, always on Monday, so He won't have a chance to get another game in there, so that'll give him time to travel, get kind of readjusted. Not that it will take him long being a veteran, but expect him to be ready to go on Tuesday for the start of that Pirates series. And, I mean, that'll be a good addition. I mean, obviously getting Kane back is huge for what he means to the team. Jackie Bradley Jr. has been hitting the ball a little bit better lately. But, again, it's not like he's been tearing the cover off the ball. Still hopeful for the opportunity to get Kane back and get the vintage Kane back. I'm also not holding my breath on it. I've told you this a lot on here. You know, I would lower my expectations for what you're going to get on Kane, and if he gives you anything more than that, you'll certainly take it. I mean, this is the guy who pretty much didn't play at all in 2020. He's hardly played at all here in 2021, getting up there in age. So, again, I'm very hopeful that we get vintage Kane back, but certainly not expecting that. Still, I think his leadership, what he brings to the team, could be great for them down the stretch here. It also would surprise me if Devin Williams is back sometime this week. Did sound like his injury is too serious, and he's been throwing. So, you know, again, I expect him to be back, if not for the Pirates series, potentially by the weekend. And then Travis Shaw and Daniel Vogelbach are actually really close to beginning a rehab assignment this week as well. But I expect both of them to have pretty lengthy rehab assignments, kind of similar to what Lorenzo Cain had. So, again, probably still a couple of weeks away from them being reactivated. But good to see both of them working their way back. Justin Topa could be rejoining the team pretty soon as well. He's probably that same kind of time frame as Shaw and Vogelbach. Perhaps early August is when we could see them return. And then Matt Arnold confirmed on MLB Network Radio over the weekend that they're targeting relief pitching ahead of the upcoming trade deadline. Not much of a surprise there. I talked about last week, you know, kind of how this bullpen looks. You know, if a couple of top guys go down, we saw Boxberger and Williams go down at the same time, and it really just thinned out the bullpen a ton. So I think it's a no-brainer, obviously, that they need to go out and get some bullpen arms. Contenders are always looking for bullpen arms at the trade deadline, but good to hear just Arnold reaffirm our assumptions there that they are looking for bullpen arms. Hopefully they're looking for high-leverage bullpen arms, but we'll see what they can come up with, but definitely need another arm or two for the back end of the bullpen. And then the Brewers got their 4,000th win in franchise history with their win on Saturday over the Chicago White Sox. So that's certainly some exciting news there. Pretty cool 4,000th win in franchise history. Take a break and come back and go over the weekend recap and that series win over the White Sox. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And right now you got Major League Baseball in full swing. You got the Olympics going on. BetOnline.ag does more than sports. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to BetOnline.ag on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So just quickly going back over the weekend series. Again, a very good series win. Obviously, you know, you wanted the sweep on Sunday night baseball. You know, got everybody watching. You're the game of the week. But still, to be able to win 2 out of 3 against the White Sox, who had their 3 aces on the mound. You had the Brewers' 3 aces on the mound as well, although you only kind of got half of that with Peralta only getting to throw 50 pitches on Friday. But still, great pitching matchups in this one. And to be able to win that series, that is a huge accomplishment for this team, taking down a serious contender in the American League. Perhaps a little preview of the World Series. They're probably not the favorites to make it right now, but certainly is a possibility. So I thought it was a very well-played series. I mean, the Brewers outscored them 13-2 in the first two games of this series. And really, the pitching was excellent throughout. Only allowed 5 total runs to this White Sox lineup. Now, to be fair, and I mentioned this coming into the series, though, the White Sox offense is banged up. They're missing a lot of key pieces. They're going to get Eloy Jimenez back, so the Brewers dodgeable it there with Jimenez coming back on Monday. But still, a very good White Sox team. Obviously, they've been doing just fine without Jimenez, without Luis Robert and others. They still have a lot of key players there. Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, Yoel Moncada. They have a lot of good offensive players there, a lot of good talent. So, again, a very good team. So what the Brewers pitching staff did was certainly earned, and all the praise that they get is due because it's a very good White Sox lineup that they mowed down over the weekend. So I wanted to make sure that I give major props to them. And let's start with Freddy Peralta on Friday. Again, Brewers decided to manage the innings of their young pitchers, especially with all these off days here. You got a chance to kind of spread things out a little bit. But Peralta only goes 4 innings. He throws 50 pitches. Allowed just 1 hit and 2 walks with 5 strikeouts in 4 scoreless innings. And then Adrian Houser backs him up with 2 scoreless. Those two combined for 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 walks, no earned runs, and 7 strikeouts. And together they threw just 79 pitches. So pretty good piggyback there. I don't know that Peralta really needs a piggyback. He probably could have, he might have been able to go the distance as nasty as he was. That slider was working on Friday, but really impressive stuff from Peralta and Houser. It sounds like Houser is going to piggyback again. Not sure if it'll be after Peralta, but sounds like that will be his role right now going forward. So really, really interesting. I may get into that a little bit more later in the week when I get Vinny back on, but it certainly worked on Friday. Again, those two were great. And this game was pretty tight with the Brewers holding just a 1-0 lead going into the 7th. So you needed both of them to be really good. But Milwaukee scored 6 runs in the 7th inning. And it was capped by a grand slam from Tyrone Taylor, who had a huge weekend. And that put that game away. Big home run there. But a great win. Great way to kick off the series with the 7-1 victory. On Saturday, big moment in this game in the 5th inning. So the Brewers are up 4-0. And Burns had ran into a little bit of trouble. A couple of bloop hits, just some soft hits is what typically seems to happen to Burns. But the White Sox were able to load the bases with nobody out. And again, another little soft hit, kind of number back to the mound. Burns tries to go home with it to get the out, and nearly throws the ball away, hits the umpire, saves the ball from getting thrown away, but the runner was called safe, and for the moment, it was a 4-1 game with nobody out, the bases still loaded, looking like a very dangerous situation for the Brewers. The top of the lineup for the White Sox was creeping up, but then they went to replay and found out that Yoel Moncada did not touch home plate. And that was a huge, huge moment in this game. Can't overstate it enough how big a moment that was. I mean, we're talking a 4-0 game goes to 4-1 with bases loaded and nobody out. You got to figure the White Sox get at least one more in that to cut the lead in half and put themselves back in the game. Instead, it remains 4-0 with 1 out. Now, Burns does walk the next batter that comes out, which is kind of understandable. It was a very long delay, so you could understand him being a little cold coming back after that delay. Walked the first batter that he saw, made it 4-1, still 1 out, and then he gets a strikeout and a flyout to end it without giving up anything else there. So, again, just a really big moment. I mean, that pretty much was the game at that point. It was a 4-1 game, you know, after going to the bottom of the 5th, and then the Brewers scored some more runs late. Really, Rowdy Tellez scored some more runs late, had a couple of home runs, and the home run ball was really going for the Brewers on Saturday. Colton Wong led off the bottom of the first with a home run. Taylor had a home run in this one, and then Tellez had the 2 home runs late to put the game on ice. He had a big weekend as well. Burns threw 98 pitches in 6 innings. Again, he avoided that disaster in the 5th to get the win. Yep, just four hits and a couple of walks with six strikeouts. So it's hard to say it wasn't a dominating outing because we're used to, you know, anytime Burns only strikes out six in six innings, you kind of don't consider it a dominant outing. But, I mean, only allow four hits to that White Sox team. Really good outing from Burns. Again, getting out of that fifth was absolutely massive. And again, the Brewers scoring runs late to save the back end of the bullpen, so that was huge as well. They continue to do that a lot here lately. On Sunday, again, you got Brewers White Sox, Sunday Night Baseball. They are the focus of the baseball world. And Woodruff, once again, kind of has a early hiccup, gives up three runs in the second inning. And really the biggest moment of the game was an 0-2 fastball to Lance Lynn with two outs that kept the inning going. White Sox take an early lead there. He ends up giving up three runs in the inning. He said after the game, you know, should have thrown a breaking ball there. Obviously, hindsight being what it is. But he said he knew Lynn would be aggressive, so he should have thrown him a breaking ball. Lynn's able to get a hold of a fastball there and put some runs on the board give the White Sox an early lead. And as Woodruff said, that was essentially the game, and it was. I mean, the White Sox wouldn't get anything else. Woodruff would go on to be his normal dominant self, going seven innings, striking out nine. So, you know, another really good outing from him. Unfortunately, just had that hiccup in the second where he gave up some singles, and White Sox were able to string some hits together to take that 3-0 lead. And the Brewers, they out-hit the White Sox on Sunday 9-8, but just weren't able to come up with that big hit. Didn't have the home runs going. Again, this offense is so much different. Obviously, any offense is so much different when they hit home runs, but weren't able to find that home run ball on Sunday. Went 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They just weren't able to string together hit after hit in this one. But Tyrone Taylor, he continued his big weekend. He had two hits, including a triple. Jackie Bradley Jr., who I mentioned earlier, had two hits in that game as well. So Taylor, I mean, he was huge over the weekend, and you wonder what's going to happen with him when Kane comes back. So big decision there, because Taylor's had some huge moments for this Brewers team this year. Again, I don't know how I feel about the pitch or innings limit or whatever you want to call it for Freddie Peralta. I understand he hasn't thrown a massive amount of innings in his career, but I worry about, you know, shortening him up like that and then trying to build him back up for the postseason, what that kind of does for him. I really hate to mess with him because he's been so good. So I really, you know, just want him to continue to roll like he has, but can understand the reasoning. And the Brewers have built themselves that cushion in the division that they can maintain things like that a little bit here. Obviously, you don't ever want to become complacent, but the Brewers have afforded them that opportunity right now with a 6.5 game lead over the Reds in the NL Central, and we're about to be into August. So they certainly have the ability, the opportunity to do that, to kind of rest guys, especially the guys who haven't thrown a ton in one season through their pro careers. But again, a huge series win for the Brewers. Couldn't be happy enough with the way things went. Again, wanting to get that sweep, but giving up five runs to these guys, one run in each of the first two games, that's highly impressive work from the pitching staff. Offense coming up with some runs late in the game in order to save the bullpen and kind of break things open. That was huge as well. Just weren't able to come up with that big hit on Sunday to get the sweep. But really bodes well for the Brewers going into the postseason to know that they can compete with teams like that. They've already done it against the Dodgers and the Padres this year, teams will likely have to face in the NL side of things. But to go up against one of the best in the American League and be able to take two out of three against them, going up against their best pitchers, you got to be through the roof right now if you're a Brewers fan. And hopefully that will lead to some big moves coming up at the trade deadline, which we'll be talking about all week here at Locked On Brewers. Take another break and we'll come back and we will preview the upcoming week for the trade deadline and the Brewers' upcoming series against the Pirates. Show is also brought to you by friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip, fudge, or cookies and cream. They have a bunch of different flavors from coconut to almond toffee to mint. Obviously, they got peanut butter fudge, one that I'm really enjoying right now, dark chocolate raspberry. Ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that tastes good. And what I appreciate is they're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Have they soft and middle, so it's very easy to get down. They're very good. They're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 5 net carbs. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein, and like I said, there aren't a lot of carbs involved, so it's a great treat for you to be able to have, and they taste amazing. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So again, just want to remind you that the Brewers are off on Monday. These off days are kind of ridiculous right now, but Brewers did have a long stretch of games before the All-Star break. But with that, we have the opportunity for mailbag episodes. So send me in your trade proposals, your trade targets that you want us to discuss, and I'll make sure to talk about those on the podcast for Tuesday's episode. So make sure you send those in to @LockedOnBrewers on Twitter. But then the Brewers will go and start another series with the Pirates. They have 9 games coming up against the Pirates over their next 19 games. And the Pirates are in sell mode after they just traded their best hitter, Adam Frazier, to the San Diego Padres. Bit of surprise trade just overall. I thought that was a little weak package from the Padres for a guy like the caliber of Adam Frazier. But nonetheless, the Pirates do move him, so they are in clear sell mode. Could see them sell off some relievers here before the deadline. So certainly advantage Brewers there. Need to take advantage of these series against the Pirates. Those 9 games that they have coming up against them, continue to just pile up the wins against teams they should be beating. And they don't have any more games against the Royals, so you don't have to worry about that. So, and the Brewers should have Lorenzo Cain back. Should have a fresh bullpen because the Brewers didn't have to use any of their top guys over the weekend. So should set them up for a pretty good series leading into the trade deadline. Again, hopefully we'll have a lot of news there to talk about this week. Certainly expect that to be the big news items for the podcast going throughout the rest of the week. But that'll do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @LockedOnBrewers. Follow me @ShortstopBall. And make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.